Well, we need to seem like authorities that, even though we have day jobs, obviously, but we're not studying like lands.
When I let me explain this, because this will make sense. And welcome to this, the first inaugural podcast of the CincinnatiSports.com website. Good evening, good morning, hello, konnichiwa, konbanwa, bonjour. I'm running out of ways to say hello. My name's Jason. To my right is Jeremy. Say hello, Jeremy.
How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. Thanks for stopping by. To my left is Chris. Chris, say hi.
Hi, guys.
And that was Chris. For those of you wondering what CincinnatiSports.com may be, for those of you that have stumbled across this on iTunes or just stumbled across this on the worldwide interweb, Chris, perhaps you can shed some light on what CincinnatiSports.com is.
Yeah, CincinnatiSports.com is possibly the greatest website existing on the internet right now. I encourage you to check it out. We're talking all Cincinnati sports. That's Reds, Bengals, Xavier Muskies, a little bit of Ohio State.
Marshalls?
Not necessarily, but maybe in the future.
Cyclones?
Yeah, they are back in town, so we will have some Cyclones discussion, I'm sure, led by you, of course.
High school football?
If it's newsworthy.
Football season, yeah.
Right.
Cornhole?
Cornhole's
in a bizarrely Cincinnati thing.
Really, any topic you want. If you want to come in and talk about the San Diego Padres or if not whole baseball, we encourage you to. We have forums, blogs, news, headlines. We're going to have podcasts, obviously. It's a great time.
Do you have anything to add to that?
I was just going to say, there's also a smattering of other things on there as well. Just, there's your general topics, and occasionally, somebody will throw something out there about politics, or, the interesting find on the web, I don't know, about the, what's the guy's name in Cleveland, the investigative reporter?
Carl Monday.
Yeah, just fun things like that.
Well, thank you.
Well, sorry to interrupt you. Everybody, we encourage you to get online, jump in, join the community. Don't be scared. We see a lot of lurkers out there, seeing it, reading the stuff, thinking it's funny, but jump in, contribute. That's what we're trying to do is build a community. You're going to notice we take sort of a different approach to sports stories, more so than the Inquirer or the Dispatch or any local news, newspaper or publication or online website. Just add a little humor and make it more for the fans, more fun.
We're not trying to take anything too seriously here. So
that's right.
Except the recording. So this is how it's going to go for everyone out there. I will be, thankfully, and I think you'll find out in future episodes, I'll be quiet for most of the time. But we're going to let this kind of run between Chris and Jeremy. I'll interject with stuff, but if you read the boards, if you visit, you can pretty much find out that when it comes to sports, I don't know a lot.
Jason will play the part of stat boy.
Yeah, I will interject my witty comments. But other than that, it's just basically the topics of the day. And speaking of which, the topics that we're going to talk about on tonight's show, the Bengals and their transformation and reputation from lovable losers to, thugs, kind of like the Oakland Raiders or the Portland Trail Blazers.
They
were lovable. Icky Woods kind of made things lovable.
But when he was
losers.
And then, they were lovable.
I could deal maybe.
They were losers.
The Bungles.
So if you're going to be losers, let's be lovable.
Yeah.
Right. We'll also talk about the recent trade involving the Washington Nationals and our Cincinnati Reds. Following that, we will continue discussion with the Reds. They've been on a pretty good streak. We'll see if they can continue. And then, if time permits, we'll touch on other topics. But first, why don't you guys get us started with the Bengals and their reputation?
I think, obviously where we're coming from is, the two incidents last week, actually, with Odell Thurman. The NFL announced that he would miss the first four games of the season for a suspension because he either failed a drug test or didn't show up for one, which is the same, in effect, the same same punishment.
After the second offense.
Right. That would be a level two punishment, I guess. And on the same day that came out, they drafted Ahmed from University of Virginia, another linebacker, who, you think, okay, you got a linebacker with some problems. You take somebody else. Maybe you ought to take somebody who is has a little bit better reputation than Ahmed does, but he was kicked off the University of Virginia football team for... they've been really quiet about it, actually. I've heard marijuana use and stuff like that, but they've been kind of quiet about why he was kicked off.
Yeah, a lot of these guys like to smoke marijuana. And what I don't like about this is, I trust Marvin, let me say that first, but I don't like adding all these different people into the same mix. These guys hang out together. These guys go out and party together. You know, if it's one or two guys, it's kind of not really a big deal. You know, Willie Anderson could talk to him, settle him down. But if you've got Chris Henry and Ahmed Brooks and Odell and whoever else, Nicholson and Frosty Rucker all going out, and who knows what those guys are going to get into collectively.
You're basically saying it's just going to encourage the behavior.
Yes. You know, guys that age, what are they, 22 to 26, you know, they're all sort of playing off each other, playing off each other's peers, and I don't like it's sort of a toxic mix that's starting there at Bengaland. But I trust Marvin, and I know he just wants to win, and like Scott said on the boards, he doesn't care, you know, right now about the reputation of the team. He just wants to win ball games, and the best way to do that is to fill the hole of linebacker right now.
Well, and I certainly can agree with that, and I'm with you. I trust that Marvin knows what he's doing, but on the same hand, you know, John Clayton on ESPN.com a few days ago,
he's an alien,
referred to, compared the Bengals to the old Portland Jailblazers, which I don't know if I really like that analogy or not. I mean, I see where he's coming from, I guess, in the sense that the fans sort of turned on him, but I don't see that happening. I mean, unless it's 5-6 years down the road and we're still having an incidents like this. I think the fans are still have their faith in Lewis right now, and that he's...
Yeah, I'm just a little bit disappointed. You know, when you bring these guys in, I think he should take more of a mentor. He should take some accountability himself. If he's going to take a chance on Odell Thurman, knowing his past, he better sit him down and tell him what the consequences are for being late, not just not starting him, because I don't think that does anything, sitting out a guy for one play. He needs to, I think, maybe an offense that small just to get things out of the way, you know, suspend him, do something. He needs to make more of an example.
Yeah, you definitely need to lay down the law. You let too much go too early, and it just escalates from there. So
I would agree.
One other thing I want to sort of mention with this topic, though, what do you think, Chris, that you might see? Do you expect any sort of drop-off in performance losing Odell for those first 4 weeks?
No, it looks like they're going to shuffle around Landon Johnson, working Nicholson. I don't know much about Ahmed Brooks, but, you know, from what they're saying he's got first-round talent. Of course, they say that about every single Bengals, you know, pick from Frosty Rucker to Nicholson to whoever it is. But I think they'll be okay. I like Odell a lot. You know, Pollock's going to go on his second year, so I think they just got a lot of flexibility, so they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with that. I think I definitely like Landon Johnson. And moving Brian Simmons to the inside, that guy's solid. You're not going to lose anything. And I'll tell you what, you know, as good as Odell Thurman was last year and as visible as he was on the field, I think for every great play he made, I think he made a rookie mistake just as often. And I think that was part of a problem with the Bengals' run defense last year, is he overran some plays and things like that where he just got himself out of position because he was so aggressive.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But he definitely, you know, I think he was above expectations. He certainly outperformed Pollock to a certain degree.
Absolutely.
It's so surprising because, you know, you see this guy on the field making these great plays. He's got that great big smile. You know, it's hard to, you know, vision him being this criminal, you know, on the backside doing whatever he's doing. I don't know all the details. You know, maybe he smoked weed or whatever he did, but still, you think of this guy as the perfect model citizen.
And easily one of the most exciting players to watch on that defense. So.
Right.
Let me just say something about the Bengals really quick. I don't care. Maybe care is not the right word to say. I'm not really concerned with the team's off-field antics. You know, this isn't a school. I'm not a teacher. If they want to go ahead and smoke pot, that's fine. There's consequences that they're going to have to face if they get caught. I don't care about the character of the sports team because they're just athletes. They're not role models. They're not upstanding members of society. They don't have to be. They're athletes. Well, you know, yeah, they make millions and millions of dollars more, but the bottom line is they're still like us, where they have a job they have to do. And unless what they're doing is affecting somebody, like a politician or like a teacher, then I could really care less what they do. I don't care if they've got behavioral problems. My concern is the end result.
Absolutely.
At the end of the game. So, you know, they can have all the thugs they want to have. If they end the season on a positive note and back in the playoffs, then obviously something's done right. It worked for Baltimore. Now, it hasn't really worked for Oakland that well. But, I mean, look at the lineup Baltimore had when it won the World Series. Where am I
at? Oakland gets guys that, you know, that are past their thug years, I think. And Randy Moss, I mean, you go back 3 or 4 years, you couldn't control him. But now, what has he done lately? He's just...
Not a damn thing.
Right.
And speaking of not doing a damn thing, not really. The kind of an interesting trade occurred between the Cincinnati Reds and the Washington Nationals this past week. Now, if you were to listen...
Wait, there was a trade?
What trade?
If you were to listen to the media outside of Cincinnati, even inside Cincinnati, you would have thought that the Reds traded Lopez and Austin Kearns for Royce Clayton. Everybody made it out as bad trade, and they basically traded Kearns and Lopez for Royce Clayton. Never mind the fact that they picked up, three young arms?
Yeah. Well, and the way I looked at that as soon as I saw that is Royce Clayton was the throw-in from Washington. You know, it's
like the pity sex.
Well, yeah,
Royce Clayton was like, okay, well, you paid for the dinner.
Poor Royce Clayton.
He took you to a movie.
In a way, yeah, because, I mean...
I'll go down on you.
You know, I don't know, I just see Wayne Krivsky saying, well, look, you know, we're giving you, you know, three fairly young players. We need somebody to sort of fill the hole at shortstop or to help fill the hole at shortstop. How about you throw in Royce Clayton in there, too? I think that the main part of that trade was those three young arms. You got three pitchers, 26 or younger.
Yeah, I haven't been too impressed so far with Majeski. I went down the other night and watched him pitch, and it was basically just like batting practice out there. But Bill Bray is the guy I kind of have my eye on right now, a lefty. He's 23 years old. He really throws the heat, had a 1-2-3 inning the other night, and actually picked up the win. That's what we need. I mean, the whole concept of this trade, people don't get it. You know, Keith Law's a good example. He sees these star names that are going out. He doesn't realize the Reds don't get chances like this to contend each year.
Well, and not only that, but I don't look at Austin Kearns and Felipe Lopez as being, you know, the main guys on that team. I think both of them are easily replaceable. Lopez was probably the worst defensive shortstop in the major leagues.
Well, let me ask you this, because every time the trade's brought up, everybody says, all-star, Felipe Lopez. Do you even think he would have been an all-star if they didn't have the rule that every team must submit someone?
It
depends.
I don't want to get in the all-star selection here, but...
If you look at his numbers, they were some of the best in the National League at the break last year. So I certainly agree that he was capable of being an all-star. Whether or not he would have been if there wasn't that rule, I don't know.
Is he Barry Larkin? Is he Davey Concepcion?
No, absolutely
okay,
no.
Because if he was Barry Larkin or was Davey Concepcion, he'd be on this team.
Here's the thing.
I don't think management's stupid enough to just throw away Felipe Lopez on some untested pitchers and a washed-up shortstop. The fact is, and the reports coming out of the Reds camp, and the fact that they questioned his work ethic, that they said he was kind of lazy, and the fact is, Lopez's name has been around since Larkin was playing for the Reds.
Yeah.
He was going to be groomed to be...
traded for him from Toronto.
Yeah, and he was going to be groomed to be the replacement. It's not like he hasn't been given the time to fulfill the role. He's a washout with the Reds. Kearns the same way. Kearns had potential, and he never quite hit it, and he's a washout with the Reds. That's not saying that they're not good players. They might perform well with Washington, but the fact is, I think, staying in Cincinnati, they would not reach the level of success that we might want them to.
Well, Kearns could never stay healthy. I mean, how many years has it been since he played a full season?
I checked it. I think the most he's ever had is 112, and then after that it was 80-some games.
Yeah,
that's in 4 years in the majors. Not a very good track record.
And Lopez, you know, he was hitting when they traded him 271 with, what, a dozen home runs? And I mean,
average.
Yeah,
above average.
That's. I think that's all you're going to get. I think, you know, you're never going to see him hit much above 280, 290. You're never going to see him get more than 20, 25 home runs a year. Never going to see him get more than, you know, 80, 85 RBI in a year. I mean, he's got decent numbers, but not to make up for his lack of defense. And I think the Reds fill that hole at shortstop just as well when you consider what they're making up in defense and what they're losing. I think they're just as well off with the combination of Juan Castro and Royce Clayton as they were with Felipe Lopez. So
overall, you approve of the trade? You think this is going to get us to the postseason?
Well, you know, John Fay wrote in the Cincinnati Inquirer the other day, and I don't know if I read it on our boards, if somebody posted a link there, if I just came across it, but I completely agreed with what John Fay said is, look, they're trying to win now. It doesn't matter what Felipe Lopez or Austin Kearns do next year, 2-3 years down the road, if the Reds win now, and I, you know, this year. And I think that's the way you got to look at it. If Majeski and Bray come in here and just do a bang-up job in the bullpen, I don't care that we gave them up. You know, if we make it to the playoffs, that's the goal, period.
Well, I've called Kripke, you know, a genius and Einstein. I actually think he's more like Santa Claus because during the O'Brien years, you know, everybody would bitch about, well, we need this or we need this. We need starting pitching and nothing would ever come. You go back and look at the start of the year, the big thing was we don't have starting pitching. We're going to finish fifth. And everybody just sort of accepted that. Well, here comes Bronson Arroyo and, you know, he surprised a lot of people, came in, won a bunch of games, and obviously is pitching well even this late in the season. But look at it now. Everybody complains about the bullpen. Crispy pulls the trigger on Guardado, which was a huge move. I'm going to emphasize. Let's not forget about him. But you know,
big fan of that one.
I think the other trade gets more hype because of the players we lost, but Guardado is I think he's going to be rock solid. You know, we wanted bullpen help, and look, now we have with the exception of keeping Coffey and Merker, and I don't know why, but Weathers is still there. But you know, we've replaced the entire bullpen. It's great.
I think Coffey will be a lot better in a setup role.
The beginning of the year.
Absolutely. The change in his numbers came when they moved him into the closer role. I don't really know what the difference is. I think obviously the eighth inning is just as important as the ninth is. You can lose it just as easily in the eighth as you can in the ninth. But something mentally with Coffey just wasn't clicking when he was when he moved into the closer role.
Yeah, what they say about Guardado is he's got that closer mentality where he just lives for it. He wants that ball, you know, in a one-run game just like Rivera. It's a great quality to have.
And you can see that the couple of games that he has closed out. He got the third strike the other night against the Rockies, and he was pumped.
And speaking of closers, do you think the Reds can close out the season? Do you think the Reds are going to make it into the playoffs?
Well, we've got a special feature here towards the end of this podcast today called Who You Got, which you know, some of you on the boards are familiar with, where we kind of pick, you know, we answer some questions, almost like a toss-up from PTI, you know, to steal their little thing that they've got going on. But, you know, I'll go ahead and answer right now, and I think they are the number one. They're in the driver's seat for the wild card. I'm going to go out and say that.
I don't know if they're going to catch St. Louis. I mean, we're only, what, 3.5 back going into the night or whatever. But I mean, it's possible. But when you got their lineup and Chris Carpenter's coming back from injury and stuff like that, you know, I really think that they've got that they're going to make at least the wild card.
Well, I really like the way they played over the last four games. You know, a team like the Rockies, who were wild card contenders and now have kind of slipped away, you know, to come in and take a four-game series like that is just great.
Well, it looks like, as of the time of this recording, that your four-game streak might come to an end. Right now, we are watching the Reds go up against the New York Mets, and right now the Reds are tossing.
Well,
it.
It's
14-3. This isn't the Yankees White Sox game.
Well, what was the game, way they played the game yesterday? St. Louis, 15-3.
Well, yeah, well, and the way the Reds played over the weekend, a couple come from behind wins in the eighth and ninth innings. I'm not counting them out for anything.
Yeah, they have a lot of bats that, you know, everybody can do something every single night, whether it's Aurelia, Hattieburg, Ross, all these guys can step up and make a great play, and, you know, outside Junior and Dunn. And so they're going to score some runs tonight and take this first game. It's critical, you know, for going down the stretch here.
So now we're going to go to what I believe is Chris's favorite part of the show, and what hopefully might be our listener, their favorite part of the show.
This is the competition of the show, and I certainly, you know, I hope that over time that we have this sort of incestuous orgy where the listeners and viewers are jumping in, and the website visitors, all in these great topics we're going to talk about. Get online, send your emails to webmaster@cincinnatisports.com, and let us know your answers to some of these questions.
Did he just say incestuous orgy.
Yeah, I was a little disturbed by that.
My nipples got hard.
That's a term I made up on the fly, and I think it's what I want to use to describe what we're about to accomplish here with the combination integrating the website onto the podcast.
But also, I'd like to interject one thing quickly. There will be a forum thread where people can also voice their opinions about the broadcast.
The millions.
The broadcast. The podcast.
Because it's a good buzzword,
you know,
that's brewing.
Let's have it for everyone to see. I don't want you to have the emails all to yourself and be like, oh, they say I'm good. I'm going to show this to everyone. Oh, they said that I sounded bad. I'm going to keep
going. Chris, you suck. You shouldn't be on the podcast. We want to start the forum threads.
Coming in.
But I tell you what, people, we got to get you on. We got to get you signed up. It's free. It's fun. We got to get you posting, you know, contribute, you know, don't sit there and be quiet.
And we have, in the works, a couple live events involving the CincinnatiSports.com podcast where we might go out to a tavern, a pub, a local area food serving place, and bring people in, and we'll do a live broadcast.
Maybe your local Wild Oats or Kmart store. We don't know yet, but we're working out the logistics, you know, how to set this up and you know, how to bring in our equipment and work with the management team of those establishments, but it will happen. Right now, we're going to play a little game called Who You Got?
Who You Got?
Who You Got?
All right, Chris. You've got topics for us, so...
Let me explain the rules here. The game's called Who You Got. It's
Who
sort of like PTI's toss-up. Today's topic overall is the division winners and wild card winners of both the American League divisions and the National League divisions. And what we're going to do is I'm going to name the division and then bounce around to each person in the room here, and you give your take on that particular winner. Make sure you justify who you think's going to win. We're going to start with the AL West, a division that no one here really cares too much about.
Who you got?
You got? I guess.
Toronto's not in that division.
No, I don't like Toronto. I don't like Toronto baseball.
Thinks he's Canadian. He's
kind of weird. I grew up being a big fan of the Oakland Athletics, and while I
that's because you're a tool,
and while I mainly follow the Indians now.
Yeah. Oh, even better! We got a real winner here. Yeah,
there is.
Who invited you?
There's a small
what
place.
What is this?
There's a small
Oakland,
place in my
ClevelandSports.com.
Well, hold on. I was a really big fan of Ricky Henderson growing up. I mean, for those of you that don't know, the Cincinnati Reds have been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. Members of my family worked for the Reds. I worked for the Reds for a while as a mascot. So, I mean, being a Reds fan is a given. But growing up, I was a very, very big fan of Ricky Henderson. So I kind of followed the teams that he, you know, the Yankees and the Blue Jays. So I kind of always followed them. And so I was a fan of Oakland.
I can see that. I was a big fan of Clemens. I still am a big fan of Clemens. So I followed the Red Sox for a long time and don't so much anymore. But
I rooted for Cincinnati when the World Series happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, for the AL West, I'm going to say
AL.
I'm going to go with Oakland.
You're going to go with Oakland?
I'll go with
justification?
The AL West, much like its National League counterparts, overall weak.
Are you like Shaney, man? You have a hard-on for Barry Zito. What's your deal?
No, I just, again, it's. I don't think Seattle is, you know, it's a weak division. Seattle's not going to do anything. The Rangers never really push for anything. I don't care if they've got Soriano. I actually have the Angels as my wild card team, so that would leave me with Oakland.
The Angels is your wild card.
I have the Angels as my wild card.
I don't even know if that's mathematically possible at this point. But, Jeremy, who you got?
Well, actually, the AL West is probably one of the toughest races to pick at this point. It's just that they're all within a few games of each other. I'm going to go almost called them Anaheim. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Of the United States, of the Earth.
I just think their lineup's tough. You get guys like Vlad in there. I think they're going to be able to pull it out. Anybody can win that division at this point. But I don't know. I'm just leaning with the Angels.
I'm going to amend my statement. I read something wrong. And, yeah, the Angels are nowhere. They can't.
You'd have to pick the Twins for the wild card, you know, 10 games
Oakland. Oakland.
We have a very informed staff here at CincinnatiSports.com. I'd like to point that out. But here,
it's just Jason is the problem.
I'm going to make my point here. I'm going to agree with Jeremy. I do think the Angels are going to pull it out, you know, with Vlad being on the team and just having the experience. The core group there and the manager, they've been through it, and they're going to make it to the playoffs, but they're not going to go very far.
All right, we're moving on. AL Central, quite possibly the best division this year, surprisingly, in baseball. I'm going to start with Jeremy.
Who you got?
Detroit Tigers. You know, nothing against the White Sox. They got a good team, but Tigers are just playing some outstanding baseball. Jim Leland's done a really nice job with that club. He's a National League guy, which is why, you know, sort of think they've got the advantage there. So I definitely think the Tigers are going to hold out. Actually, if you put a gun to my head right now, I'd probably pick the Tigers to win it all this year.
Wow. Pretty amazing stuff. How about you, Jason?
I'm going to agree with Jeremy.
Okay. Why? Kenny Rogers, Jim Leland, Pudge? What's the deal?
I honestly don't care. It's the AL Central. Why would I care about the AL Central?
I honestly thought he was going to jump in and say the Indians were going to make a run. But
no, the Indians are in a joke. I'll tell you what. One of the most, you know, because growing up as Cincinnati fans, we've been kind of spoiled. They won the World Series in '90. Heartbreaking. I hate the Marlins. I hate the Marlins for 1997. I love them for beating the Yankees, but I hate the Marlins for 1997. I don't care about the AL Central, and you know, it's not I'm just not one of those baseball guys. I'll watch Seattle. I'll even watch Detroit if they come on, but I'm really not concerned because when it comes down to it in October, I'm not really going to be rooting for them.
I just hate the American League. So,
well, that's a topic for another day. I'm not drinking the Tigers Kool-Aid just yet. I'm going to stick with the champs.
Ooh.
I think the White Sox. I'm a big Guillen fan. I think he's the best manager in baseball.
My God.
He's got the personality. He's got the team. He's got the drive. Those guys just want to win. You watch him manage that All-Star game. This guy is serious about winning.
Next week, that's got to be a topic. We're gonna get into it about Ozzie Guillen.
Well, I can seriously talk a whole hour on the detriments of the AL and how the AL is ruining Major League Baseball as a whole.
And Ozzie Guillen.
I would like to say this, and you kind of bring up an interesting point.
Jeremy,
about
you
drinking.
Rhyme with tag. You are something that rhymes with that. Go ahead.
You mentioned about Jeremy drinking the Kool-Aid. And that's one thing I find very fascinating about the media and the national sports writers in general. Their observation between the Tigers and the Reds. The Reds have been destined to fail. They're destined to fail. They're not going to do anything. I listen to Gammons. I listen to all the guys on ESPN, on CNN, all these guys. They say the Reds don't have a history of winning, so they're not going to win. But look at the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers have had a history.
Young upstart team.
They haven't had a history of winning. But I'm just saying, where's the love?
They got a great manager. There's no doubt about that. They got quite possibly one of the best pitchers in the AL with Kenny Rogers, and he's not.
Where'd he come from?
Well,
Texas.
Obviously, being angry, has helped him out a little bit, and he's calmed down a little bit and focused. They're a good team, but I just don't think they can carry through and beat the champs.
All right.
Moving on to the wild card. We'll start with Jason.
We haven't done the AL East yet.
We're going to skip the AL East. No, just kidding. All right. I've got it right here on the list, and we're going to do the AL East then. I think I have a suspicion that a number of you will pick your wild card team from this division, so maybe we can integrate these two.
Who you got?
I honestly... This is the division I care the least about. I am tired of hearing about Boston. I am tired of hearing about the Yankees. I could give. And this is
Blue Jays.
Those two teams keep the Reds in business.
That's wrong. This is where we get the explicit tag. I don't give a shit about either of these two teams. I don't give a shit because I'm tired of flipping on ESPN and seeing a Yankees.
Who you taking?
I'm taking Toronto. No, it's not going to happen. If I had my druthers...
It could.
I hate Boston to a certain degree, but I despise the Yankees, so I'm going to say Boston wins the division.
Well, Toronto's only, what, 4 or 5 games back right now? Something like that.
Stat boy, can you help us out a little bit?
Toronto's currently 3.5 games
three and a
back.
Half.
That's not bad, especially as well as the Yankees are playing right now.
I think I'm going to stick with Boston. I don't know if the Yankees pitching. I mean, this could change a lot. What happens at the trade deadline, but at this point, looking at the makeup of those pitching staffs, I like Boston's starting rotation a little bit better than I like the Yankees. And wouldn't the Red Sox love to have Bronson Arroyo in the rotation right now?
Probably so, I would imagine. I mean, Willie Moe hasn't exactly exceeded expectations over there. But I do think I'm going to go with the Yankees. I think they're playing great ball. They are the Yankees. You can't go wrong picking one of those two teams to win the division. Very quickly, wild card.
Wait, I'm sorry, I got it. They're not the Yankees. They might have been an apropos statement in like 2000 or 2001. But all they are is just a team that's overblown with prima donna stars and a payroll that's not supporting. They haven't won a championship in 6 years.
Well, Alex Rodriguez has 16 errors at third base already this year.
That doesn't matter. He's hitting very well. He's not the most popular guy in New York right now, but I still think, you know, I'd take A-Rod on my team anyway.
No, I agree, but I'm okay. Just...
All right, a wild card, Jason.
Who you got?
I've got Chicago. I've got the White Sox. And that's, again, for my absolute hatred for the Yankees. I think the Yankees are going to implode. I think this is Torrey's last year managing the team. I would like to see Toronto win. Yeah, because I'm a Canadian homer.
What is that? A Canadian homer who was born in the United States.
Born
in
homo, United States. But
how does that happen?
I don't know.
I think I blame it on Rush.
I'm going to go with, I'm with Jason on that one. I like the White Sox, actually. And that's more just about the personnel they have on that roster. They've got a fantastic starting rotation. I don't know why I actually picked Detroit over them. You know why it is? It's because I don't like Ozzie Guillen. That's the reason why I picked Detroit to win that division. But I think Ozzie Guillen is gonna keep that team in line, and they're gonna make the wild card, and they could very well end up back in the World Series this year. But
I am going to say this: I think the Tigers are gonna tank like last year's Indians, and you know, going down the stretch. And I think the Boston Red Sox will be your wild card team, and you are gonna see the Yankees and Boston Red Sox both back in the playoffs like it should be. Anyway, going on to the National League, we're going to start out in the West, another division that is weak and cluttered with teams all bunched up. Let's start with Jeremy. What do you think?
Who you got? You got?
Again, this is like the AL West. It could go any way, you know, any direction, because none of them are any good. I honestly think I'm going to go with the Dodgers. I don't know why. They got a little mojo working this year, I guess. I mean, they're certainly better than they've been in years past. But I think really? The Dodgers would do...
They're under 500. They're in third place at 3.5 games back from San Diego.
Well, yeah, but there's... I don't know.
Mojo.
I think they've...
They got spunk.
Well, it's all relative. I mean, compared to the other teams in that division, like I said, anything can happen there.
Well, let's see. I'm going to shake my magic eight ball. And why not? I'm going to say Arizona.
Okay.
Again, it's just a result of me not really caring about.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, I mean, the NL West has been weak for some time now. I mean, Didn't San Diego make it in last year with a very sub record,
barely over 500? Yeah. And I'm going to pick them again, just more so because of the same reason you guys are mentioning that. No one cares about the division. It's weak, and it's going to come down to one or two games, and someone's going to pop in that really doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs.
They're going
to
get swept in the division series anyway, whoever it is. So.
Like they did last year.
Yep.
Definitely. Let's move on to our hometown division, the National League Central. Jason, we'll start with you.
Who you got?
Unfortunately, I've got St. Louis. I mean, I really thought this was going to be St. Louis's year to fall apart and the wheels go off. But the
go
fact
back
is,
to Canada.
But no, but seriously, I barring any major injury, if they're playing like they're playing, they have, you know, they're 7-3 in the last 10 games. They've got a 3.5 game lead against Cincinnati. And let's face it, as much as we love Cincinnati, we all have to admit we're a little shocked they're going this far into the season right now. So I don't think it's going out on a limb saying St. Louis is going to win. I don't think Houston's going to stand a chance. I don't think Milwaukee is really going to pose a threat. I think it comes down between Cincinnati and St. Louis. If St. Louis stays healthy, if they're pitching under control, they're going to maintain the lead over Cincinnati.
Can you tell who's got the laptop in front of them, by the way? Throwing out to Houston's, or St. Louis has won 7 out of its last 10.
Can you tell who's come prepared?
I have to go with St. Louis, too. As much as I want the Reds to win the Central Division, I think St. Louis is a little bit deeper. And anybody who's got Pujols on their team is just, you know, They got the advantage right there.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to stay on top for the rest of the year. I'd like to see the Reds make a move. I think they will. I think there'll be one or two more times during the season where they catch them very briefly. But in the end, it's going to be the pitching and, you know, the role in Edmonds and Pujols, you know, mix that's just going to take the Reds down. Moving on very quickly. We want to keep moving. We got the National League East, I believe. We'll start with Jeremy.
Who you got? You got?
This is definitely the easiest one. The Mets are the only ones playing decent ball in that division Braves. Right now. Actually, the Braves have won, what, 6-7 in a row
that's
now?
That's why I bring that up. They're so far behind.
Exactly. It's not going to happen. But the Mets are the only ones who have played consistently decent ball this year. And you got to go with them.
Ja-Ja Jui, who you got?
I've got the Mets. I mean, this is one of those.
Nobody's close.
This is the easiest call to make of both leagues. Yeah. I mean, there's no competition. The closest team is Atlanta. They're 11.5 back. Then you got what? Philadelphia's 12.5. Florida's 13.5, which really surprises me that they haven't made a trade. They haven't traded away Dontell Rolls, but that's a topic for a different time. I say it's New York.
Yeah, David Wright's a stud. They've got great pitching. I mean, they're so far ahead at this point in time, you really can't see them tanking. If they did, it would be, I think, one of the biggest tank jobs in the history of the Major League Baseball. So they've got that division locked up. Now, what is probably going to be the most interesting race for all of us as Cincinnati sports fans is the wild card. Jason?
Who you got? You got?
I have Atlanta. No, I kid. I have Cincinnati. And it might be a homer move on my part. I realize that, but I think Cincinnati's got it in them. I really think they're also destined to make one more move before the trade deadline.
I don't think it's gonna be anything major, but they.
But it'll be that little bit that just kind of helps.
Well, they're still carrying three catchers. Just say that.
Let me just mention, Jason would probably pick the Nationals if they were still in Montreal, but
he's
deciding to choose Cincinnati. All right, Jeremy,
I'm going with Cincinnati too. You know, I want to say that, you know, that's not a homer call, that's me, you know, legitimately thinking. But, you know, who knows? I might subconsciously be it's just me rooting for them that has me thinking that. But, you know, they've if this these last the last couple of trades they've made have shored up their bullpen, I don't see any reason why they won't be the wild card winner.
Yeah, I think Kryske will do whatever it takes. If they get swept here against the Mets or whatever happens, if he sees a weakness, he's going to fix it. I think this is the year they want to win now. I feel it. I mean, just because of, you know, the new ownership and him wanting to contend now. I'm picking the Reds, but let me say that I'm very scared about the way the Braves are playing. And with them being about 5 games back, you know, Stat Kid over there can check that for us.
The Braves?
But, they're playing such great ball. And
the
they
Braves
did,
are 11.5 back.
Oh, no, the wild card.
Oh.
You know, they're certainly playing great ball, and they outplayed the Reds last weekend. So I'm a little bit scared there of them catching the Reds for the wild card. But right now I've got my money on the Reds.
Right now the team you need to worry about is Arizona. Arizona's 2.5
back. It's all relative to streaks. Yeah, I mean, the numbers say one thing, the way a team is playing. I mean, the Braves, they had the fans had bags on their heads 3 weeks ago, and now look at them. I mean, they're sort of the toast of the National League recently.
In Atlanta, there's a lot of wives that are all of a sudden going, oh, look, there's light.
Except for in Atlanta, because they just they really don't care, I don't think.
It's an exciting ballpark to see a game. I mean, people are passionate, but I think they're also fair-weathered down there.
No, I don't think people are passionate. If they were passionate,
they
would sell it.
A Braves game and
No.
The people who are there are passionate.
They have fans that might be passionate, but the people in the city don't give a hell. Passionate fans don't let playoff series not sell out.
Yeah.
And they 95, Cincinnati. The bad thing about this game is I don't necessarily get to pick a winner, but I think everybody made a lot of good points. I think we're going to gradually, as the season moves on, pick our winners and our division winners, but it was a good game. Everybody made some good points.
I definitely think Jason lost.
Jason does need to do, despite having the internet in his hands and having access to all that information that the internet provides, He was unable to back his points up with the, with some statistics.
What points? I already said I don't care about five of the six leagues.
Well, I like Toronto because I grew up in Cleveland.
I don't care. Look, I don't care about the Yankees. I don't care about Boston. And I'm really getting tired of the fact that ESPN wants to push the fact that every time these guys play, it is the most important thing on earth. As somebody who lives in an NL Central city, and as someone who roots for an NL Central team, please validate the reasons why
this guy's got
shit about
small
Boston.
Market syndrome. He can't handle it. He lives in a small market, and it drives him crazy every single day.
It has nothing to do with the small market. If they were trying to push Seattle and San Diego, or you know.
It's all about stars. Cincinnati should be on the television more on ESPN. With Griffey and Dunn, I think, and Bronson Royal now, I think those guys can drive up ratings. But when you've got Jeter and A-Rod and the list goes on, Randy Johnson, David Ortiz, Papelbon, emerging star. I mean, star after star. I want to see this. It's a great spectacle. Seeing a sold-out Yankee Stadium, you can't get any better than that. In high definition.
Again.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could if it was anybody but the Yankees. So.
No, but you know what? It's not Wilbon. It's the ESPN, and I'm going to go off topic here. ESPN had the same agenda when it came to hockey. When they had the hockey contract last, there were four teams you could watch.
Red Wings.
The Red Wings, the Avalanche, the Bruins, and the Rangers. And that's all you got. And it's if you're going to broadcast nationally, let's not show the same four teams. Let's mix it up a little bit. If you're going to broadcast nationally, explain to me why people in L.A. are going to want to watch ESPN 18, 20 times a year to watch the Yankees and Red Sox, other than the fact that that's the only game on.
I think there's something to be said to following a team. It's just like, you know, when you watch the Superstation, and some people don't have a team to follow, so they start following the Braves. It's just.
But that's a Superstation. That's Atlanta, and that's an Atlanta-based television.
But it's all about stars, and whether you like it or not, the Yankees and the Red Sox have the big names. They have the big stars. It may not be, as J-Mart said, they don't have the best brand of baseball, but they've got the big names that people love to see.
You know, you look at other leagues around the world, actually, it's the same way. You know, the reason, even if you look at, say, the English Premier League, soccer, the reason that Manchester United is the team you hear about all the time is because it's the one that has the biggest payroll, has the biggest names. You know, it's just it's market driven. There are more companies that are willing to advertise with those teams than they are with the Brewers against the Reds.
I realize that it's just the hype machine goes out of control in April, and it's like catch the Red Sox and the Yankees tonight. Well, I mean, it's like.
And not just that, but it's like, I mean,
honestly,
ESPN...
I might watch those games in August or September, but when they're trying to put importance on games in April and May, it wears me down.
ESPN drives me crazy with that. I don't watch or listen to ESPN as much as I used to. The perfect example of how it drives me crazy is a couple weeks ago, SportsCenter was doing segments, segment a day on, predicting the NFL this year. And weeks before training camp has even started, there's absolutely no purpose to that whatsoever. There's no way you can predict anything. You don't know who's going to – you don't even know who's going to make the roster coming out of training camp on a lot of these teams.
Yeah, that just seems to be an emerging trend. And we just, did the same thing with the list and some sort of competition.
Well,
people like
to
pick a winner.
We've got 2 months to go in the season.
I think the good thing about it is right now we've had a half – season, we can step back, really analyze the Reds. Are they contenders? Are they pretenders? But I agree with you on the football. Back to the why we're not on national television all the time. The Reds, besides Griffey and possibly Dunn, we don't have the Chad Johnson. We don't have the Carson Palmer. But you're going to see the Bengals on national television, three, four times this year? Because
besides,
we have stars.
That's besides the point. That really should be besides the point. It should not be about the stars. It should be about the division races.
About what's going to make the most money. What's going to make the most money is Yank stocks.
Then you know what? Then that's what they need to promote it. Then let's be honest about it. But I'm tired of ESPN saying the battle for the AL East. No, it's not.
Well, there's a rivalry there.
Where are the rivalry matchups for the AL West? Where are the rivalry matchups for the NL Central? The last game ESPN broadcast, I believe, was Reds related, was the Reds Mets. Which might have been a relevant game 25 years ago. you know, if you're going to promote,
it might be this fall too.
But if you're going to promote, you know, the baseball games under the guise of, because these are the rivalry matchups and these are that are going to shape the division, then let's do it other than the Boston Yankees.
I think there's
a national game that has the Reds against the Cardinals, or if the Cardinals are against the Brewers, for crying out loud, because the Brewers were making a push before the All-Star break. The ESPN doesn't promote. ESPN promotes, like, these are the two most important games, the two most important teams in baseball, the two most important games. And I bet you there have been more Red Sox games and more Yankees games this year, last year, and the year before than any games featuring the World Series winners previous.
Every single one is broadcast by ESPN.
But what about how many White Sox games have been broadcast?
Well, plenty. More so this year. And Giants games during the run, especially.
Well, no, and you know, the Giants games are only aired because of the fact that they were in bed with Barry Bonds. As soon as that Bonds on Bonds crap got canceled, you saw a lot of games. And once the ball was hit, I mean, they still run that stupid ticker, chasing Aaron. But, I mean, let's face it, the guy's never going to play.
I hope not.
Oh, I just took that train of thought way.
Guys, never. All right. Well, I think we're all spent. We're certainly out of time. We hope you enjoyed the show today. I encourage you to give us some feedback either on the message boards on CincinnatiSports.com. That site is compatible with your Firefox, Internet Explorer, or Safari browser online. Or send an email to webmaster@CincinnatiSports.com. All questions will be answered in the order that they are received. We enjoyed this a lot. We're here every single Tuesday. We're going to pop this online tonight. We hope you enjoy it, whether you're in the gym, taking a shit, listening to us live. We don't care. We're just glad you're listening. Take it easy, guys. See ya.
Goodbye.